You're listening to Shalise's podcast.
All right, you guys. Well, it is part three time for going all in. So let's pray and jump in. All right. Well, Father, I just thank you for every single person that is connected to this podcast. I thank you, Father, for everyone that's watching and listening. And I thank you, Father, that they are here by divine appointment. I thank you that this topic is so important and you have revelation that you want to share with us today. And so, Father, I just declare that we have ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying today. I thank you that the eyes of our understanding are enlightened and that we are aware of our union with Jesus, which makes us one with you. I thank you that we are your temple, that we live and move and have our being inside of you. And so it is from that position today, Father, that we are hearing the words of life that you are sharing with us and the encouragement and the words that are causing us to triumph always in every situation. And so, Father, I just yield my body as a living sacrifice right now. That's my reasonable service. And I ask you to think through my mind, to speak through my lips. And I pray that your presence would permeate the atmosphere of every single listener's environment right now, Father, whether they are driving, whether they are watching from home, watching the replay. Father, I just thank you that Holy Spirit, you are so present with us. You are present in us. Your presence rests upon us. And I just thank you that you are the teacher. And so we just tune in not only to what I'm speaking today, Father, but what you are speaking, Holy Spirit. And we thank you that this is revelation knowledge for every single person that is tailor-made for their situation and that you are using it, Father, to give them instruction and correction and direction, Father, according to your plans and your purposes for their lives. And so I just thank you for it in advance and I call it done in Jesus' name. Well, awesome, you guys. We are here in part three of this awesome series. I think it's been an awesome series. The feedback has been amazing. And we are going to be continuing today on the topic of going all in. And I have shared a lot of personal stories throughout this podcast. And today, I really wanted to maybe shift directions just a little bit and come at this topic about going all in from the perspective of not just, you know, laying all your cards out and believing in the promises of God and what you have heard him speak and the things that he is leading you into, maybe some impossible situations that you are up against, maybe some giants that need to come down in your life, whether that is, you know, a sickness that you're dealing with, or maybe there's a financial issue or a relational issue that you're dealing with. Maybe you are taking steps of faith into your purpose and your destiny, and there's obstacles that you are facing, you know, and I've been talking about that from that perspective, right? That we're going all in, that we don't have a plan B, that we are following God. We are getting out of the boats and we are going to walk on water and we are going to stay on the water, not looking at the wind and the waves, but we are going to keep our eyes on Jesus, stay in that place of intimacy with him and keep living a supernatural life that overcomes the odds and overcomes the world through the power of the gospel, right? And so I've been talking about that for the, you know, last couple of episodes about, you know, not having a plan B and going all in and really stepping out in faith. But today, I just kind of want to shift gears a little bit because there is a specific place where we abide, obviously in Christ. And when we say that, you know, when we're talking about going all in with no plan B, the way to really be victorious in those situations, when you're up against contradictions and trials and tribulations, is to actually go all in into Christ. Right? It's this place of hiding. It's a place of refuge. It's our true identity. And it is very important. In fact, it is the key that we learn to abide in our true identity, regardless of what is going on externally. And so I want to kick it off today with a couple of just scriptures that I just wrote in my journal this week as I was preparing for today's broadcast. And I want to just kick it off a little bit with, I'm just going to walk through these scriptures. And the first one that I want to go to is out of the Message translation. And I ran across this scripture years ago and it really impacted me. I knew it's a very simple scripture, but I knew it was a right now word for me. And I really feel like this is an important word for those of us that are walking into the promised land. Maybe you've been in the wilderness for a long time. Maybe you've been dealing with symptoms or financial lack or relational strife for a really long time, but you're standing on those promises of God. And the way through the wilderness, the way through that period from, you know, I have agreed with God, I have spoken to that mountain, I have received the things that I have prayed for, and the actual manifestation of that, sometimes I feel like that is the wilderness, right? That's where patience is needed. That's where you're like, maybe you're not seeing the mountain move yet. Maybe the heat is even turned up and things look like they're going in the opposite direction. Maybe things look like they're getting worse. And there's this place in between, right? Where you have, you have believed for the thing that God is asking you to believe for. And you are declaring the promise. You're declaring the things that God has spoken over your life. And then there's this like waiting, this time in between where the manifestation hasn't shown up before. And so the way that we walk through that waiting, number one is by just doubling down and not moving, going all in with no plan B for the things that we are trusting God and believing that God has accomplished in Christ and is about to happen in our lives. So that's part of it. But I want to talk today about the posture that you maintain when you're going through that time. And this scripture to me is really, really important. Number one, I talked about this and we're going to be talking about it throughout today's podcast, which is about hiding in Christ, about going all into Jesus. And we'll talk about the importance of that as we continue. But the first scripture I want to talk about is this place of intimacy with God. You know, intimacy with God is really the point of eternal life. It is the point of the gospel. And intimacy with God means that we are not just known and God knows everything about us, but it is this place where we have access to his heart, to his thought, to the mind of Christ, to his emotions, to his encouragement. And that means that we need to stay in a place of listening. Because making it through to the victory is all about hearing and doing what the Holy Spirit is leading us to do as we're walking out the victory in time. So Matthew 11:15 is one of these scriptures that I ran across. I'm sure that I ran across it in a time of waiting. Who knows? You know what I mean? I've walked through so many things with Jesus. But it just says this in the Message translation, Matthew 11:15, it says, "Are you listening to me? Really listening to me?" And when I read that scripture the very first time, I'll tell you, it was like, you know, bam, hit me right between the eyes. Because so many times when we are going through a trial, when we are going through a contradiction, when we are not seeing the results right this moment of what the gospel declares in our lives, it's like our thoughts get loud, our emotions get loud, our fight or flight system goes off, our amygdala, you know, the alarm just starts going off internally. The fear can sometimes begin to well up. I mean, these circumstances are talking louder than the voice of God and the promises of God and the things that God has spoken. The voice of doubt starts to come in and you know, make you doubt. Like, did I really hear God clearly? Or is that really what the gospel means? Is this actually true for me? And so there's all these like voices that can become really, really loud inside. And I feel like this scripture is like a compass in our hands, because the truth is Jesus can lead us through anything, right? There is no temptation that is not common to man. That means that we're not going to be under pressure that is not, you know, just the human experience. And that the word promises that with every temptation, with every trial, that there's always a way of escape. But if we're going to find that way of escape, well, guess what? We need to hear, we need to listen, and we need to become proficient really at taking all those thoughts captive and staying in the Spirit. Because those that are led by the Spirit of God, these are the mature children of God. These are the sons of God. And so taking a posture of listening is so, so very important. And I like it because it's like, are you listening to me? Like, what voices are you listening to? What is your emotions? What are they shouting at you right now? What are the circumstances shouting at you? You know, I've talked about it in recent podcasts, right? How the disciples when they came down the Mount of Transfiguration and there was a demoniac boy there, then they couldn't cast that spirit out. And I always say the reason they couldn't was because that demon was acting up, and it was like it was like exalting itself against the knowledge of God. And so it just was presenting, it's like it was more powerful than the disciples. It was more powerful than Jesus. It's more powerful in our case than the gospel. And so things can get really loud. The storms can seem way more powerful than the Christ in you and the gospel, which these things start to feel intangible when we've got real tangible, you know, issues and problems and circumstances that are going on in our life. And so this scripture to me is like this grounding that says, okay, no, let's come back to center. Let's come back to the place where we are listening to the Spirit of God and following the directions that Jesus is giving us as we go through the situation. And sometimes the instructions are not difficult. I mean, sometimes it's just trust me, or rest, right? Or have patience. Like, these are not words that we necessarily like to hear, but they are really necessary conversations that we need to dive into with Jesus when we are faced with that kind of a situation. And the thing that gives us access to being able to hear the voice of God is our union with God in Christ. It is reminding ourselves that we are one with Him and that we have access to His wisdom. We have access to His strategy. We have access to His thoughts. And so I'm not saying that it's always easy when you're, you know, emotional and your fear is trying to invade your heart and your body is in fight or flight, but I am saying that it is necessary, especially when we're in that situation, to get still, you know, to be still and know that God is God, right? To be still and know that I am God. And so learning to still your heart, learning to find God in the contradictions is really, really important. And so I want to go over to a scripture that I in James in the Mirror translation. And boy, I have been sitting with this one because it is truly to me the key that sets us free when we are waiting, when we are waiting in this place where we are standing in faith and having done all stand, we have gone all in. There is no plan B. It's like, okay, now what? Right? Because the word trust, the word rest, the word wait, those words are not necessarily calming words sometimes to our internal atmosphere. I mean, we're like, okay, well, how do I trust you? I mean, what do you mean rest? Like, do nothing? What do you mean? Like, wait, like, I mean, how long am I going to have to wait? I'm freaking out over here, God, you know? And so this scripture has been like a real foundation for me in my life when I'm in that situation, and I wanted to share it with you today. So I'm going to start in verse 2, and here's what it says. I love this. It says, temptations and contradictions come in different shapes, sizes, and intervals. You know, this is very much what Jesus was saying, that, you know what, in the world you will have tribulation. In the world you will have trials. You know, Mark 4 says that the thief comes immediately to steal the word. And then it talks about all of these things that can happen, you know, when you are standing on a word from God, right? And here it says they come in different shapes, sizes, and intervals, and they just are going to come. And so it doesn't mean you're doing something wrong just because you need a miracle, just because you are finding yourself in a situation that requires the supernatural. It's too big for you. Guess what? I mean, the kingdom of darkness is real, but the kingdom of God comes with power, with a greater power, with a greater force. And that is the person of the Holy Spirit. And so it's not a problem that we're in the storm, right? I mean, in fact, we'll talk about how accusations always come to accuse you in the middle of a storm and to test your identity and to test what you believe. That's really what the contradiction is. It's a test. Not that God brought the test. In fact, it says the thief is the one that's coming to test and see, you know, whether what you actually believe. But here it says, this is the way out here. It says, well, first of all, it says their intention, the temptations and contradictions have an intention. It says their intention is always to suck you into their energy field. It's to suck you out of the field of peace, out of the energy field of faith, out of the energy field of hope, out of the energy field of love, right? The frequencies of heaven. And it's to suck you into despair and suck you into doubt and to suck you into fear, into these lower level energy fields. That's the intention, is to get you out of the spirit. But it says here, however, my friends, Your joy in who you know you are leads you out triumphantly every time. Let me read that again. However, my friends, your joy in who you know you are leads you out triumphantly every time. How many of you know that the scriptures tell us that God always causes us to triumph, that we are more than conquerors, that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And so there is a joy that is attached to those truths about us. Don't you just hear them and go, whoa, yeah, awesome, Jesus. Yes, you always cause me to triumph. Yes, I am one with you. Yes, the greater one is alive in me. Yes, I am more than a conqueror. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So there's this truth about who you are that bubbles up inside as joy. And that is the key that leads you out. The remembrance of who you are, the remembrance of the gospel, the remembrance of what is true about God and his character. And if it doesn't look like Jesus, it doesn't feel like Jesus, if it is not healing and victory and the miraculous turnaround of the contradiction that you're facing, well, then it's not Jesus. And so what I want to say today is that our safety is found in Christ. It's not found in external situations. It's found in a person, and it's a person that we live in. And so a huge part of going all in is recognizing that we are in Christ and that we are going all in into our identity as someone who lives in union with the God of the universe, with the one who said, let there be light, with the one who has worked every single miracle that is documented in scripture. And we are going all in on a person, we are going all in on the gospel, and we are going all in on the truth that is true for us, regardless of what is happening externally. And I'll tell you what, that is the purpose of every test and contradiction. It is to test and see, does this person actually recognize who God actually is? Do you actually believe the gospel? Do you know who you are in Christ? I wrote this down, and I think I wrote it from something. Yeah, I wrote it from the notes that are here about this scripture in the Mirror Translation that Francois wrote. And he says this, the objective of every contradiction is to lure you into a place where you forget what manner of person you really are. You see, these contradictions, you know, bills that aren't paid, doctors' diagnoses, you know, people that are you know, judging us and believing things about us that are not incongruent, that are incongruent with who we are in Christ. Like, those are accusations. Like, have you ever thought about that? That an unpaid bill is an accusation against the gospel. It's an accusation against God's ability to provide. And it's an accusation against you, usually in the form of something like, well, you got yourself into this situation. It's all your fault. And so all of these accusations that are happening in the middle of a contradiction are there to lure you out of your place in Christ, that place where it is finished, that place where it is already yours, that place where everything that heaven contains has already been lavished upon you. At the end of the day, it's really a battle for righteousness. It is a battle to see, do you depend upon yourself? Is there a you that is separate from Christ that deserves the situation that brought it upon yourself? Or are you actually hidden in Christ? Is that old man actually crucified and you are not relating to your circumstances? You're not relating to the contradiction out of the old man. In fact, that accusation will always try to put the blame on somebody. It'll try to put the blame on you. It'll try to put the blame on God. It'll put the blame on somebody else. When honestly, all blame has been swallowed up in the gospel. You know, I remember, maybe I've shared this story before, but I remember one time I was in the middle of a prayer session. I was doing one of these rapid mind renewal sessions with one of our facilitators. And I was in a memory and I was in a really, you know, traumatic thing that had happened to me that I had put it on myself. I decided that was my fault, that I got myself into this situation. And so therefore I deserved whatever outcome was going on. And I, as I recall, I think it was something that happened in college. But the point is, But in that session, Jesus said something really powerful, because I was like, you know, this is all my fault. You know, in that place in my heart, I was like guilty and I was feeling condemned. And Jesus kept saying, it's not your fault. It's not your fault. And I was arguing. I was like, well, Jesus, it has to be my fault. Like, if it's not my fault, who is it? Whose fault is it? It has to be somebody's fault. And Jesus said something to me that was so profound. And I mean, I have thought about this and I've meditated on this for years. It has actually kept me in a place of righteousness when maybe I've done something that is my fault and I am in consequences that maybe I've caused. And here's what Jesus said to me. He said, Shalice, it's my fault. What do you mean? I was sitting there thinking like, what do you mean it's your fault? How can it be your fault? Like, I was the one that did it, you know? And the message was this, is first of all, he said, Shalice, I call you blameless because I absorbed all the blame on Calvary. I absorbed the sin of the world. I absorbed the blame. I absorbed the consequences. I absorbed the shame. And so you can't blame yourself and receive your blamelessness at the same time. And I took the blame. I took the blame for Adam's sin. I took the blame for the whole world's sin. And it was absorbed to me on the cross. So you have to let go of blame. In fact, you have to let go of any identity that is not perfect in me. And so it was this profound moment of the revelation of righteousness. And I cannot tell you the number of times since that the Lord has spoken to me and said that the battle for righteousness is fierce. And when I say righteousness, it's one of these like words in the Bible that sometimes we don't understand, but righteousness is a way of being. Righteousness is the very nature of God. And in the old covenant, righteousness was earned by obeying rules, by obeying the law, right? And so you were righteous or unrighteous, depending on whether you were, you know, lawless or a law keeper. But in the new covenant, right, our righteousness has nothing to do with right or wrong in our behavior. Our righteousness has to do with the identity that we have as a new creation who lives in union with Jesus. And this understanding of righteousness ultimately is what the contradiction is testing. It's testing, is this person trying to earn this the inheritance that is theirs in Christ? Or are they hidden inside of Christ and not relating to God, not relating to the circumstance, not relating to the situation, apart from Jesus at all? And so when I talk about going all into Christ, I'm talking about this place, this truth, and this reality of who you are in Christ, which is perfectly blameless, which is perfectly righteous, which is perfectly perfect, apart from the law, apart from your own performance. And this is what Jesus was talking about when he, back in Matthew 11:28, was talking about, are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Why? Because it's exhausting to try to be righteous apart from Jesus. It's exhausting to try to perform for something that is freely given. It is exhausting and that's what religion is, right? It's to try to get you to be righteous, to try to get you to be good apart from Christ. And not only that, but the accuser of the brethren is a lawyer. So he's constantly keeping track of your record of wrongs, but those record of wrongs were swallowed up in Christ at Calvary. The ordinances that were written against us have been nailed to the cross, and there is no more relationship with the law whatsoever. And so in Colossians, when it talks about, you know, our resurrection is Christ's resurrection too, it's that all of those old things, all of that blame, all of that shame has been swallowed up. It went into the grave with Jesus. And when we rose with him a new creation, a blameless, righteous, holy creation, a son, a child of God that is righteous by nature, righteous by new birth, righteous through our association with Jesus. And so these contradictions, I will tell you, righteousness will strip the kingdom of darkness of the things that it thinks that it now owns, or the things that it thinks that you don't deserve because somehow you've got to earn it by your righteousness apart from Christ. And so every trial, every contradiction is always an accusation against the gospel, against the nature of God, against what Jesus has accomplished, and against your identity as a new creation. And the sooner we grab that, right? then the sooner we can actually step into Jesus and we can begin to follow whatever the strategy is, whatever the instructions are, because it's not actually at the end of the day even about us. The contradiction is about Jesus. The contradiction ultimately is an accusation against the cross. And I sit here and as I think about this, you guys, I mean, sometimes, and when Jesus said that the battle for righteousness is intense, it's fierce, it really, really, really is. Because human nature, apart from Christ, is to want to blame. It's to want to try and figure out, you know, what do I need to do to fix this? Like, it's all on me. It becomes a toil. It's my fault. It's mine to fix. I deserve this. So therefore I can't receive whatever the promise of God actually is. And so let's go over here to Galatians now. I want to go over to Galatians let me go in the Mirror Translation over to Galatians, and let's just read a little bit about Galatians, because this is the exact thing that the Apostle Paul was talking to the Galatians about. And he was just, let me just read a little bit, and I think it'll make sense. It goes, "Oh, Galatians, Galatians, have you completely lost your common sense?" I'm in the Mirror Translation. "Can't you see how the law bewitched you and blurred your vision to distort the revelation of what the cross of Christ accomplished in you? This was so clearly predicted in Scripture. How can you not be persuaded by the truth? Please, would you reason with me on this one issue? On what basis did you receive the Holy Spirit? Are we talking gift or reward here? What kind of message ignites faith? What a condemned sinner and failure you are as revealed by the law? Or what God believes to be true about you as revealed in the gospel? Let's not confuse law with grace. Can you see how stupid it would be to start in the Spirit and then for some crazy reason, switch modes back to DIY again, do it yourself again? As if your own works could add anything to what God has already done in Christ. It says, remember how you felt when you first encountered faith. Are you prepared to exchange that for a religious sentiment? All the ground you've gained would be lost. Would you accredit what you have received from God to something you did or something you have heard? Did God reward you for your high moral standards when he worked extravagant miracles in you and lavished his Spirit upon you? Or did it perhaps have anything to do with the content of the revelation of the message of grace that you have heard? Faith is the source of God's action on mankind's behalf. Our hearing is the conduit of what God's faith reveals. Abraham had no other claim to righteousness but simply believing what God declared concerning him." And I just want to stop there. See this idea that we can receive something, you know, the new birth, the new creation, who we are in Christ, here is a gift. I mean, the presence of the Holy Spirit, be made the temple of the Holy Spirit, be made new as a gift, not based on anything that we did, but based on something that Christ did, is how we access. It's how what awakens in us the new birth. But now here we are in a contradiction, and we've got something that is exalting itself against what Jesus did. And the temptation is to go back into trying to qualify for the blessings of God, for the inheritance that is ours in the kingdom, by something other than what Jesus did. And that's why every contradiction at its base level, at its most basic level, is an accusation against you and your righteousness that is yours by gift in Christ. It is an accusation against the very nature of God, which is the same thing the enemy did, the serpent did in the garden. Did God really say? I mean, it was a temptation to believe that God was withholding something from them, that they needed something else to make themselves wise, to make themselves like God. But the truth is, in Christ, it's already been accomplished. And so this accusation against the character of God, it's like, is God really a healer? Is God really a supernatural provider? I have the debts that have been arrayed against us. Is our debt actually paid? Is our debt to sin? Is our the consequences of sin? Has it actually been swallowed up in Jesus? Is God who he says he is? And are you who God says you are? And so hopefully this is starting to make sense, guys, because it is very, very subtle, right? It is subtle when we come into a place of condemnation or, you know, criticism or judgment against ourselves. And we start playing the blame game or the deserve game, right? I got myself into this financial situation. You know what? I didn't take as good a care of myself as I should have. So I deserve this sickness. I deserve this disease. Well, I messed up in this relationship. And so there's no hope for reconciliation because it's based upon what I've done wrong. And, you know, I just have to give it to you straight because I can, many times when I'm preaching like this, it's like, I can almost sense that like, well, but what about, you know, this, Shalise? Like, it really was my fault. Like, I really did screw up. Well, that's what the blood of Jesus is for. That's what the cross is for. It's not for your accidents, right? It's for the blatant things that you did knowing they were, it was the wrong thing to do. It's the things that you did on purpose as well as the things that you did by omission. And so this righteousness is a full-blown way of being. You can't have, you know, just a little bit of sin in there, just a little bit of unrighteousness. No, it's either perfection or imperfection. And in Christ, we are perfect. And so getting this revelation and letting it rise up in you in the middle of the contradiction, I'm telling you, the gospel, the joy in who we know we are, in who God and what God has accomplished, it is such good news. It comes with joy. The kingdom of God is not earned. It is simply enjoyed. And we can say, no, this bill is paid because of Jesus. This sickness is illegal because of Jesus. Everything that is not like the kingdom of heaven is illegal because of Jesus, not because of anything that I've done or haven't done, but it is because of him and him alone. And I am now going to hide in this message. I'm going to hide in the person of Christ. I'm going to become invisible so that it is Jesus against the contradiction. It's not even about me anymore. And so in Colossians chapter 3, let's go over there and read that really quickly because I really love this as well. And I'm going to read it in the Mirror translation. Then I may go over into the Passion translation because I love both of those translations. But let's go over here. And let me just read this. I know I'm reading a lot of scripture today, guys, but we need to hear the truth. And I will tell you, being in the scripture when you're in a contradiction is how you reinforce what is true. It's why I love the Mirror translation so much. It's because it is bathed, it is steeped in the revelation of the gospel and what Jesus has accomplished on your behalf. And it is steeped in who you are in Christ, your true identity. So let me read this. It says, Colossians 3, verse 1. It says, see yourselves co-raised with Christ. Now ponder with persuasion the consequence of your co-inclusion with him. I'm going to stop here for a moment because that is what I'm talking about. Today, I am pondering with persuasion what the consequences actually are because of our co-inclusion with Jesus. The consequences are that anything that isn't like Jesus has no legal grounds to exist in our lives. And our persuasion of that is the very thing that is the substance of faith. It is the substance of the joy that causes us to triumph in the situation because we are convinced of the truth of who we are. And there's no place for that contradiction to stand because our faith, our trust, our rest is in the truth of who we are and what Jesus has accomplished. So we are pondering and becoming persuaded of the consequences of what it means to be in Christ. It says relocate yourself mentally, right? This is a mental struggle that we're doing. We're relocating ourselves out of the place of unrighteousness, out of the place of being to blame or blaming others. And we are seeing everything through the lens of being in Christ. It says, engage your thoughts with throne room realities where you are co-seated with Christ in the executive authority of God's right hand. Because when we relocate ourselves, you guys, mentally, and we begin to see ourselves in the throne room, inside of Jesus, right now, seated in heaven, at the highest place of honor, of authority, one with the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, seated at the right hand of the Father, but also one with the Father, like the fullness of the Godhead, this reality in the throne room here, you guys. Like, that's where we locate ourselves, because that is true reality in every contradiction, in every situation. And so mentally we are relocating ourselves. Why? Because it's the place of victory. It's the place of all authority. And now we're listening. We're listening to the command. We're listening to the instruction. And if it's rest, well, then we rest in the Godhead. We sit up there and take a nap on the throne. We relocate ourselves to the place where it is finished, where the battle is won, and we can enter into the rest of everything that Jesus has accomplished for us, as us, and with us as we stay in that place. So we relocate ourselves. We go all in to being inside of Jesus, to being inside of the Godhead, and we stay in the throne. We stay in that place of executive authority. And now we can trust what? We can trust that it's true. We can trust God that it is finished. We can trust God that we have the victory because we are resting in Him. And there is a frequency that comes with that place of rest, with that place of trust, with that place of persuasion, where there is no you, there is no me that exists outside of Christ, that it is a figment of our imagination. It is a delusion that the enemy wants to propagate in our lives. And as we just let that illusion of separation melt away and we see ourselves co-raised with Jesus, new creations, walking in the resurrection of Jesus as glorified human beings, well, now we're in the position of victory. We are in the position of joy. We can have joy in the knowing of the truth about who we are and the truth about what Jesus has accomplished. And joy and patience and all of the fruit, like this abiding in Christ, is in a place of victory. This abiding in Christ in this is in a place of throne room realities. It is a place where we are hidden inside of the Godhead. And it is no longer I that exists. It is no longer a me that exists apart from Christ. So how can sickness, how can disease, how can lack, how can discord, how can disunity exist in this place of perfect union, where I am one with the Godhead, but guess what? So is everyone else, that we are members of one another. Now, not everybody may be acting like it, not everybody may know it, but us seeing it and us knowing it is the very observation and the place of faith that shifts it. And the grace of God is available. This is not something that we do apart from Jesus even. This is something that we do through the revelation of the Holy Spirit. That's why I'm even preaching this today, because the Holy Spirit wants you to have this revelation. He always causes you to triumph. Why? Because you're seated in the place of all victory. So let's keep reading. It says in verse 2, it says, becoming affectionately acquainted with throne room thoughts that will keep you from being distracted again by the earthly realm. I think this is so powerful. And it says in the earthly realm, the soul ruled realm. Boy, that's just something that you can meditate on, that we are distracted by the soul realm. We are distracted by the earthly realm. And so the purpose of this meditation and this persuasion is so that you are not distracted, that you are fully hidden inside of Jesus, and you are there in throne room realities, with acquainted with throne room thoughts about you, about the situation. And we're setting our minds on the things that are above, not below. So let me just read a couple of the notes here from Swen Saw. It says, whatever you face in your daily life, acquaint yourself with the greater reality, the things that are above. Do not engage with the energy of the things that are below. It says here, it says, we are not keeping any score of what seems so obvious to the senses on the surface. It's fleeting and irrelevant. It is the unseen eternal realm within us which has our full attention and captivates our gaze. A renewed mind conquers the space previously occupied by worthless pursuits and habits. Okay, I want to go to another scripture. And this is something that I feel like is just reinforcing what I'm saying here, but also a beautiful picture of everything that I've just been saying, okay? And it is in 2 Corinthians 4:8 in the Mirror Translation. And it is such a powerful scripture. When you're feeling hemmed in, when you are distracted by the natural realm, when things internal and things external and from the soul realm and from the just the world, right, are just louder than the truth of the gospel. It says this: we often feel completely hemmed in on every side, but our inner space remains unrestricted. When there seems to be no way of escape, we escape within. I just feel like that is such a powerful scripture. I hope that that's landing for you the way that it's landing for me. It means that we're going in. Where are we going in? We're escaping within, inside of Jesus. We are going into the place of greater reality, of greater truth, where there is no blame, where there's only righteousness, where there's only victory, where the throne room becomes our reality. The throne room becomes our way of escape. Jesus is the way of escape into this inner world of the kingdom of God that is always with you. Your spirit is large. You're not hemmed in the spirit. You are unrestricted in the spirit, and your spirit is larger than your body. It's larger than the circumstances. And when we go within here, this is the place where the fruit of the spirit, this is the place where we can abide, and the fruit now begins to flow through us effortlessly. And I don't mean, what am I trying to say? I just mean that you lose yourself. You literally lose yourself in Christ. You go internally into the presence of God. And whether that is with worship, whether that is with prayer, whether that is with just focusing on the simple meditation of I am in Christ and Christ is in me and the breath, it is recentering yourself and escaping into the place that is always with you because Christ is in you. You're always in the place of this reality. The question is, where's my soul? Where's my focus? What am I looking at? What am I experiencing right this very moment in my awareness? And so, beloved, when we are going all in and we find ourselves hemmed in, well, we go within. We go all in into Christ, and we don't play the blame game. We don't attempt to deserve or disdeserve or any of those even lower level thoughts. We just escape into Christ. Jesus is the way of escape, and he will make the way. He is faithful. It is impossible for God to lie. And when he brings you into that, you know, that place and that reality and that awareness by the grace of the Holy Spirit, well, let me tell you what, you are strengthened, you are encouraged. And this is where spiritual disciplines come in, right? This is where praying in the spirit and worship and meditating on scripture and staying in the word and hearing what the Spirit of God is saying and being able to actually walk through the contradiction in union with Jesus. Because at the end of the day, every contradiction is ultimately about getting you separate. It's about pulling you out of that place of union or keeping you out of that place of union through accusations, through just circumstances, and through the external things that are truly exalting themselves against the knowledge of who you are and what the truth is. And now in that place of revelation, now we can hear the strategies. Now we can hear the thoughts. Now we can hear the words of encouragement. Now we can hear the scriptures. Now we can be led to the truth, however the Holy Spirit is leading us to the truth, and we will be strengthened. We will be strengthened from the inside out. We will have peace that surpasses our soul, surpasses our understanding. We'll be in the place where we can rest and trust that is above our own understanding. And now we just can acknowledge those truths, acknowledge the reality of our co-resurrection, and we can victoriously walk through whatever is going on in our lives that is, you know, seemingly more powerful than the truth of the gospel. So, beloved, that's really what I wanted to share today. I wanted to talk about this secret, the secret place that we can go into Christ, because that is where we truly live. And it becomes a question of awareness. It becomes a question of setting our minds on the things that are above. It's relocating ourselves mentally. There's nothing that has shifted except our mind. And when our mind shifts and our emotions shift, well, guess what? Our attitude and our perspective shifts, and now we can see things from God's perspective. If we can walk victoriously through anything that comes our way, because when he says that he always causes us to triumph, well, I just believe that that's what he meant. So I pray this is a blessing to you, and I am excited as we continue in this series. And until next time, you guys, hide in Christ, right? Go all in. Go all in with no plan B. Go all in to standing what God has spoken. But most importantly, go all into Christ. Stay hidden and recognize that you are a co-resurrected new creation and that you are equipped with everything that you need to win because Jesus is inside of you. So until next time, you guys, love you much. See you later.
Thanks for listening to Shalisa's podcast. This recording is, in part, made possible by our listeners. To partner with us, visit shalisa.com, where you can donate and help us spread the good news of our unshakable union with Christ around the globe. You can also find a link there to download Shalisa's book, The Path, for free. And if you're ready to discover the call of God on your life and the purpose He created you for, then visit us at shalisa.com and watch Shalisa's free training, where you'll hear 5 keys to hearing God about your life purpose and transitioning into it. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, don't forget, the world needs the Christ in you.